Up next is artist and RPI doctoral student Ellie Irons talking with members of her artist collective, the Environmental Performance Agency, including collective members Christopher Kennedy, Andrea Hanagi. The Environmental Performance Agency will lead a workshop at this weekend's Rural Ecologies Symposium.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Andrea. I am so excited that the EPA will be involved in our upcoming Rural Ecologies Symposium. I want to talk to you about our collective work, but before that, could you both introduce your individual art practice and background? Maybe we'll start with you, Chris.
Sure. I'm an educator and artist based in Brooklyn, New York, and I was trained as an environmental engineer. So a lot of my practice has to do with reimagining field science, urban ecology strategies, and for a while I've been really obsessed with mushrooms, mycology, bioremediation, and over the last few years, more interested in urban plants and things we consider weeds as potentially being, you know, places where we can draw wisdom and knowledge and generate new ideas for climate adaptation.
Awesome, thank you. And what about you, Andrea?
I'm an artist, choreographer, and all of my practice starts always coming first from movement. And my last few years, I'm really trying to find a new way how to be in choreography, where also humans and non-humans have both agency and what that would mean towards it.
Wonderful. Thank you. And I know when most people hear EPA, they think of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. But for us, that is not the case. Could you tell me what EPA stands for us and how it all got started?
Sure. So the EPA for us stands for Environmental Performance Agency. And we have appropriated the acronym to explore different ways of imagining a world beyond human. The project and the collective began shortly after the 2016 election, and I think we were all a little frustrated and at the same time energized by what was happening through the Trump administration and specifically at the EPA itself, the proposal for defunding, deregulating, and dismantling what we kind of know of as the agency that makes sure that we have clean water and soil and air to breathe. And so the idea for us was to create a space and an opportunity to rethink how we think about environmental health through the body and through wild urban plants here in New York City.
Excellent. And do you want to add anything, Andrea?
Yeah, well, that really was so beautiful, I see, in also in this collective since last year, that we all worked in one side in Crown Heights and actually in a former auto repair garage with the wild plants together. And yes, we know each other before, but not that well. But through working through these plants and each other, we really start to picking up on each other's practices and seeing in our own field work, as me as a choreographer, him more as an ecologist scientist, how people, each of us, very differently approaches this non-humans, which I think is very exciting.
Definitely, I agree. And the site in Crown Heights at 1067 Pacific Street was really important for all of us. And I think that it's got a really nice connection to some of what we'll be dealing with in Troy in terms of post-industrial landscapes, since it was a former auto body garage. So as you both mentioned, the EPA does a lot of work with wild urban plants. Could both of you tell me a little bit about some of your favorite plants or plants that you find interesting out in the landscape?
Well, one of the most common plants we observed at the 1067 site in Brooklyn was mugwort, Artemisia vulgaris. And it's a very rhizomatic a plant that we kind of considered a community leader in a lot of ways.
Totally.
So it grows in these kind of really complex patches, but it, you know, I think that the scent, the sort of metaphor of this plant and sort of the folk knowledge and what it can do for the city in terms of healing the soil, pulling up some heavy metals, and actually providing a space for healing through dreams and tea. You can make a tea out of it, which is really cool. But that was a special plant. I think I have really a new understanding of that common thing you see on the streets of New York now.
Totally. The mugwort is just starting to emerge here. I think up in Troy, we're in Brooklyn right now, but I think up in Troy, we're still waiting for the mugwort to come out. But here, it's starting to come out, and I'm enjoying its return for sure. Do you want to add something, Andrea?
Obviously, the Artemisia vulgaris mugwort always stands in front of it. But the more I observe them and look, so I felt like each individual say the example, the horseweed, that fascinated me too. That seems much more an individual plant in its own. It can just come in a small crack, still totally upright when a full wind comes, and it still doesn't bend. So seeing that each plant in their own kind of being here in New York City finds their own landscape, and how they have to, with the terrain of the ground, have to find their own voice, which I think is a very different voice. As you guys can hear, I have an accent. I'm originally from Switzerland, where, say, like Artemisia mugwort exists, where I grew up in a village, but it felt very differently.
Totally. I remember when you asked me, I took a trip to Europe, and you asked me to look for mugwort and take photos of it for you because it grew so differently there. I think it really is interesting to think about these plants as kind of a global diaspora. So many of them have come from other parts of the world and are all living here with us in this kind of mixture that represents the way that humans have moved around too. So that's been something that's been really important for us as we've learned more about these plants. So maybe we should shift to root oral ecologies. Unfortunately, Chris won't be able to join us, but Andrea will be coming up to work with me during the weekend, and we're going to be hosting a workshop called Radical Care Practices. Do you want to tell me a little bit about what we've got planned?
So what is really, when you are in these rural sites and seeing where these spontaneous plants come up, one of the things a lot of times comes up as well, which a lot of people call waste, trash. And we really would like to look into it. What this means actually have an entanglement with that. Like, and what it would be if why is trash suddenly is an offering? What would change? Or what if it would be suddenly a burden or a resource? What is that relationship? So we will together lead this workshop to give the participants an insight. What is that relationship? And what does it mean to pick up trash? You know, what is that when you ripen down, reach you for your hand before you're touching it? Well, why you would pick it up? What's your intent? Is it already part of the soil? Did it already decompose? Where is it in the stage?
Definitely. I'm really looking forward to this because every time I wander around in Troy and in Brooklyn, my eyes light both on the plants and on the trash that often gets tangled into them. That's like part of the life of an urban plant, is kind of being a trash catcher in a way. Yes. So I think that entanglement metaphor is really apt for what we'll be thinking about. And once we get through rural ecologies, which I can't wait for, we've also got some plans to visit Washington, D.C. the month after, where we're planning to meet the other EPA. maybe we'll bounce back to Chris and you can tell us a bit about what we've got planned down there.
Sure. So we are partnering with Transformer, an experimental art space on P Street in downtown Washington, D.C., and we are launching a new artwork called the Department of Weedy Affairs. We are opening the branch on May 5th in downtown DC, and we're imagining it as kind of a site for continuing a lot of our research on urban plants and weedy ecologies. And we're going to be hosting a series of workshops and creating a site for folks to also voice their sort of opinion and desires and frustrations with what's happening with the US EPA. With Scott Pruitt and some of the rollbacks on regulations that protect our human health. So Ellie and I will be doing a weedy resistance walk on the National Mall, which is one of the oldest lawns in the United States. It's very much a monoculture of different kinds of grasses. And we're going to be looking for all the weedy invaders, all those aliens. And we're hoping that we'll create a scene and, take people through a process of looking for these plants, but also use the body and some movement exercises to really activate the mall as well. And then Catherine, another member of the EPA, and Andrea will be doing a workshop as well in May. I mean, 20th.
You want to talk a little bit about what you'll be doing in DC?
Okay, our workshop is called Crack the Patriarchy. And what we will take actually the participants, Catherine and I will take the participants from the Transformer Gallery to the actually to the real EPA and looking for small cracks and then see what comes out of these cracks and what that means towards us, to our own bodies and our own society.
Excellent. This all sounds great. Obviously, I'm very excited about all of it. And just as a reminder, Ruderal Ecologies is happening the 13th, 14th, and 15th, and you can learn more about it at mediasanctuary.org. Thanks so much, Andrea and Chris.
Thank you, Ellie.
Bye.
See you on the streets.
That was Ellie Irons talking with members of the artist collective, the Environmental Performance Agency.